Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host is Bill McHenry. Bill, how are you today?
Absolutely terrific, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, doing super. Well, you know, Bill, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business, both, you know, what happens before a launch, during the launch, and after the launch, so that our listeners can successfully navigate their own launch. This morning, we're going to be featuring Jessica Kim of Babaco. But before we get started, Bill, could you thank today's sponsor?
I sure will, Ron. Our sponsor today is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your innovation and connecting you to the resources you need for success.
Well, thanks. Well, introduce our guest today, Bill.
Well, Ron, I'm really anxious to have Jessica Kim on our show today. She's really the epitome of entrepreneur. At 19, she started a company and grew it to over $3 million. And her quote to me was, she really looks for doing something from inspiration to mass production. And, Ron, if you can believe it, she's actually on her second company now, Babaco. And along with that, she's raising two young children.
Boy, that's unbelievable. You know, I've got twin boys, and so I know what it's like to have two. And to be running a business at the same time, that's pretty incredible.
It really is, Ron.
Well, Jessica, exactly what is Babaco?
Well, hello, Ron and Bill. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah. So Babaco, really, it's an innovative baby products company that creates solutions for everyday parenting that are simple, functional, and super cute. And that's my little tagline. So basically what we do is we observe what parents are doing. We see their frustrations, but there are many frustrations when you're a parent, and we swoop in with a solution that just makes their lives more simple. It has to save them time, money, or headache. It's got to be functional, and just because you're a parent doesn't mean they have to carry Winnie the Pooh things everywhere. It's got to be super cute with today's modern design. So that's basically what we are, and I launched it 2 years ago. We currently have four products out in the market. They're available online. We're in about, 200 plus boutiques around the country and in five different countries. We're on diapers.com, amazon.com, and Bye Bye Baby, which is owned by Bed Bath & Beyond. And so it's been really exciting. We have a pipeline of at least 10 more products. I can't stop myself from inventing more products as my children grow and as I see the parents around us. And, it's been a lot of work, but it's been an amazing experience. I'm having the best time of my life.
Gosh, I remember when I was young, my boys were younger, Jessica, and I hated carrying all that goofy stuff around as a dad.
Right.
It just drove me crazy.
Right.
Well, tell me, do you invent all your products on your own, or do you have someone help you, or how do you do it?
It's funny because, we put By Jessica Kim in our company logo on purpose because it was a intentional decision on our part to say, we're talking to parents, we're talking to real parents, and we're not celebrity parents. We have all the butlers and all the support around us. Like, we are all, parents that are trying to do it on our own. And so I really wanted the inspiration and the products to come from real moms and real dads. And so, yes, I do. I invite all of them on my own right now, and I feel strongly about that. And, maybe in the future we'll get other parents involved in the whole process, as we are already right now in our Baba Mom and Baba Dada groups, which are our focus groups and our community groups. But I do design and invent everything. I literally start with a drawing, and then I make it at home in some way. Believe it or not, a lot of my products are cut and sew, and I taught myself how to sew on the internet. I just taught myself because I had an idea and I didn't know how to sew. And from there, I go to the manufacturers and I get the prototypes done. I do all the testing with real moms and real dads, and that's really how we do all of our inventions so far.
How did you find all your manufacturers, Jessica?
How do I find my manufacturers?
Yeah, that's really a chore.
It is. That's a great question because I think a lot of people do ask that if they have an idea or a product. And I really don't know how I got to the point where I have all my manufacturers, but if I do break it down, Google is going to be your best friend. Google. I don't know what entrepreneurs did before Google, because everyone has an online presence. You can search and just research, and whether you get someone that's the wrong actual end point, but they'll lead you to even learning more about the topic or to the right contact. So Google is your best friend. Number two is definitely network. Talk to everyone and anyone that you know, because even if they're in the tech space, they might, and they're an entrepreneur or they're a business person, they might know someone who's in, you know, the industry that you're looking at too. So then, you know, as long as you're passionate and you know what you're doing and you talk about it, then people are going to want to connect you to other people that they know. And so that's really how we got our manufacturers initially in the first stage. And then the second stage, you know, once we became a full-blown working company and we were manufacturing, but then, of course, we meet people at trade shows and, you know, then you're a little bit more well-seasoned in the industry and you know who's who or what's what, then you can start, you know who to go to. But in the beginning, it's Google and contacts and networking. So.
Well, Jessica, the Baba Cover product was featured on the Rachel Ray Show as a top parenting pick for 2010. How did that happen?
Yeah, that was an amazing spot for us. Rachel Ray's reaction was priceless. It's on our homepage. But so the way that happened was we actually won a parenting award. So we won a parent-tested, parent-approved award. It's PTPA. And they presented to Rachel Ray and said, hey, look, we have all these great parenting products. And so Rachel said, okay, pick your top four, your best top four products, and bring them on. And so they contacted us, and they said, hey, this is an amazing opportunity. We think your product would be great on Rachel Ray. Do you want to do it? And I was like, are you kidding me? Is that even a question? And so, you know, so we, of course, took the opportunity, and we watched it. And it was incredible because, you know, I always believe I have a marketing background, and, you know, I always believe in PR. But to see it live from an entrepreneur's perspective – so, you know, the Rachel Ray Show airs different times in different time zones all over, you know, the U.S., and I still get all my orders on my phone because I love seeing when every single order pops up. And it was incredible. So when Rachel Ray was aired in the East Coast, I would get all these, like all these email, like all these orders from the East Coast. And then all of a sudden it's like Texas, and you're like, all these orders from Texas. And then it was just live time. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like the impact that had. And it just brought our brand and brought up our awareness incredibly. So we were so grateful for that.
And did you get another bump when it hit Hawaii?
Yeah, and then you hit Hawaii. Exactly. Hawaii, West Coast, everything. It was just, it's so funny. I was like, how do you know Rachel Ray was on at 3 p.m. in Hawaii?
Well, you know, I have another company where we're launching a product, too, and it's so awesome to get your first orders and then watch orders come. It's just fascinating, and it's exciting all along. How did you handle all the orders then, Jessica?
Yeah, so that's one piece of advice that we got was if you are going to do the Rachel Ray segment or any kind of huge PR segment, get your back-end support and operations ready. And, you know, at that point, I believe my baby was – oh, no, you know what? It wasn't – because I was pregnant. I was like 9 months pregnant. So I'm just kind of giving you an idea of this whole mompreneur – this idea of this mompreneur. But when the Rachel Ray segment happened, I think I was – like 1 day late from being due. So I was so pregnant and all these orders came in, but we had our support team. We have about, you know, 5 people in the office. And then we had, you know, just some part-time and some colleagues. And, you know, I also have investors who are so supportive and very, into what we're doing. So we just had, it's almost kind of like our family support team just there to help us fulfill the orders. And we were able to get it done.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, when you started the company, Jessica, did you write a business plan, and how did you get your funding?
Yes. So, you know, there's a debate whether you write a business plan or you don't, because it's kind of a lengthy, long process.
Right.
But I strongly believe in business plans, and this is just me. Everyone has their own styles, and so you just have to know how you best plan out what you're going to do. But no matter what, whether you actually write a business plan or don't, I think it's very important to think through all the scenarios or your vision and how you're going to get there and what's your revenue stream and what's your strategy behind the new product line. Like, you need to think through all of that. And absolutely, it's going to change, you know, your first business plan, your second business plan, as you revise it, it's going to keep changing. But the important thing is it's just a process of thinking through it, because then when opportunities come, you know exactly whether you would take it or not and why, or you know what you would do with it and because it would, you know, bring your business to that next level. So I definitely believe in thinking through your business plan, whether you actually write it down or not. And then for my funding, initially, you know, I initially, you know, I was working in corporate. I was working at Kraft Foods on the barbecue sauce team. It's completely different. And I told myself, you know, when I thought of this idea when I became a mom and all my, you know, ideas came about out of pure need, I said, okay, let me save up enough money to pay for my own living for the next year and a half. Because from my first experience of starting a business, I knew that you really don't make revenue from day one. Most companies don't. You know, there's especially product companies. There's a lot of development, planning, testing, sales, getting. And so you're not going to be able to live off of what you make on your business for, you know, first year and a half or 2 years. So I saved up enough to just enough for me to live, you know. And then after, as I finished the business plan and got through the prototypes, I'm really, you know, told myself that I believed in the idea and the business. Then I said, you know, I'm going to do a seed round of funding. And so I went to old colleagues and friends and some of my other investors and just networked. And I did an angel investor round of about $300,000. And that was to get us through the production and the PR and getting us to where we are today. But not a dollar of that was to pay my salary. So I believe just very strongly on that, that every dollar that I brought the investor in was to pay to move our company forward. And so that's how I did the funding initially. We're actually thinking about doing another round just to really have our company really grow, although we don't, you know, we could keep continue without it. But right now we're just thinking, wow, we can really blow this up with all the momentum that we've built. So I'm kind of considering that. But that's how we've done it so far.
Well, Jessica, were you passionate about what you were doing, or did you make the choice just as a vehicle to get to where you were going?
Can you hear the passion in my voice?
Yes, I can. It's kind of a rhetorical question, you know?
Yeah, I am all about passion. I feel like if you're not passionate about it, pick another career, because it is just way too much work. There's just way too much uncertainty. I just love what I'm doing. And, of course, there's a lot of pressure of making it happen. And, you know, you have to make the income come in. You need the business plan. There's a lot of deadlines, and you need the sales to survive. And, you know, but there's a rush and energy around that that kind of gets me going. And I feel like that's what entrepreneurship's all about. It's that rush of, like, really trying to make something happen and bring something forth to the world. And you're going to take a risk doing it, because otherwise it's just a hobby, you know. Otherwise, if nothing's really riding on it, you're just kind of enjoying your hobby. But that rush and drive and that kind of uphill battle is part of what I think entrepreneurship is about.
Yeah, there's a fellow I know down here that's in the restaurant business. And as you know, having a restaurant, it's pretty intense, you know, when everybody comes in and cooks quit or whatever. And one time, he really enjoyed the restaurant business. And one time he came out, and this was told to me by somebody that was there at the time, and he just shouted out to all the people that were in there. He says, "I love the restaurant business." So he was really passionate about it. He just absolutely was, you know, juiced up about, you know, being a restaurant owner.
Oh, that is great. I love that. And I could so identify with that. There's so many times where we'll just be working and it's quiet in the office and we're all typing away. And I'm just like, "You guys, I love this. I love you guys." And, you know, I'm just like known to do that. And I'm crazy, but I mean, I think you kind of have to be crazy. Isn't there a book, like, I haven't really read it, but I think it's like you have to be crazy to be an entrepreneur or something like that. And I so believe that.
Well, you really do. And the passion is so important. I know I feel the same way. But I always tell people you have to be that way, because you're working half days, and people look at me kind of funny, and I say, yeah, I work from about 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Hey, that means you take a day off, half a day off, because I work till midnight, you know?
I know you too, right? I know how to type better than you.
Yeah, it's funny because...
Go ahead, Jessica.
No, I just said, along with that, it's so funny because, you know, having, you know, a newborn infant at that time, you know, he's only 6 months old. It's my second child. And he started sleeping through the night at, like, 12 weeks, and I wasn't sleeping through the night. Like, that's when I should be like, yes, I can sleep. But as soon as he would go down and he's sleeping through the night, I'm like, finally, I can work now, you know. So that's what it takes.
Well, you know, Jessica, you've started two companies now, and it sounds like the first one certainly was successful, and this one, Babaco, has really taken off. But our listeners often wonder, you know, when they have an idea, where do you start? What do you do to start? Can you give us some idea on what you did?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think when you have an idea and it's usually just on, like, over a dinner conversation or something that you're like, oh, wouldn't that be great? Or you're having a frustration. It's like, I want to invent something. What do you do about it? And the first step is do it. Like, do something about it. And I'm sure you guys say the same thing all the time. There's so many people with ideas, but they don't go and do anything with it. And so, you know, so I would just say, you know, start, like, playing around with it. And then I think a really important distinction that we don't often talk about is, are you really interested and passionate about that one idea in terms of a product or service? Like, is it just, like, the idea of the product? Or do you want to then make that into a company? Because having a product and being kind of the inventor of that is one thing, but then if you want to run a company, it goes way beyond just having a product. You have to do with, like, sales and finances and, you know, just the management of people. So I just think, you know, I think, as you know, when you have an idea and you want to, you think it's going to take off, I would then make that decision of, do you want to turn this into a full-blown company and you want to run a company, or do you want to kind of license out the product and idea? So I think that's, you know, one of a mental decision. And then after that, it's like, you know, just make a prototype, go out and test it, whether it's even with your friends. And then beyond that, you need to go to either mom group or, you know, I'm thinking about parents, but whatever your target group or who this product is for, just test it out, have them use it. And don't be so afraid of people stealing your idea. I mean, there is, of course, a paranoia and everything, but again, as I said, like, it's, you know, there's ideas, but then it's really, entrepreneurs really, who, what do you do with that idea? And that's like a whole other story. So, you know, then you test it out and then you figure out how you can make it more in mass quantity. And then just, you know, you have to get the support and the team. And, but I think the first step is really deciding what you want to do and then just going and doing it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sure. I think that every inventor should have a little plaque in front of their desk that has Nike's tagline on there of just do it.
Right.
Okay. But I know life was happening while you were perfecting your invention. What was going on behind the scenes?
Oh, behind the scenes. It's so funny because I do think that sometimes people say you can have a reality show around you just because, you know, what people see, even in the videos, or, you know, we have a video blog that I keep, and even what people see, or, you know, the trade show booth, it looks all pretty, but what happened to get there? Or, you know, here's the product and it looks all nicely packaged, but what happened to get there? And it's just crazy. And I think, you know, I'm always trying to be a voice for a mompreneur, and it's just, you're a full-time mom and you're a full-time entrepreneur, and mixing the two is so unpredictable. Like, kids are unpredictable and having your own business unpredictable. So it's just crazy what happens behind the scenes. Like, you know, I breastfeed on the photo shoot, or, you know, I go to potential stores with my kids just to be observers and a consumer, and or I, like, borrow the babies to test out the products, and, you know, or even the Rachel Ray segment.
Okay, it looks like we've lost her there.
Sorry about that.
That's no problem. Yeah, you started just kind of breaking up and faded away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you were talking about what was going on behind the scenes of, you know, breastfeeding and all like that. So, yeah, could you continue that story? And then the phone went dead, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying that every entrepreneur has those kind of behind-the-scenes stories. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes you think it's overwhelming and it's just crazy what happens. But if you don't, you got to find joy in those kind of behind-the-scenes stories. And I'm definitely journaling all of them, or kind of writing them all down, because, you know, we're thinking big. And I think when we make it really, really big, I'm definitely going to share these stories. And but every entrepreneur has them. So that's, again, that's what I love about entrepreneurship, is that, you know, the things that you do to get it going, because you typically, usually you don't have all the funds that you need, or you're not starting with. I remember someone quoting that the definition of entrepreneurship is making something out of nothing. And, you know, I love that. So, you know, you'll do anything to make things happen.
That's right.
Well, that's what makes it interesting.
I was looking at your website, and, you know, you got a BABA cover, a BABA burpee, a BABA threads, a BABA mat. Could you tell us about those?
Sure. So our BABA cover is my first product. And so I'll start with the issue. So the issue is basically you have a baby in the infant car seat, and I'm sure you see this all the time. Parents always put blankets over the car seat, and they carry it around like that. and because they don't want the baby to get cold or wet or it's raining or they're trying to sleep or whatever. But the issue with that is that you don't have a good grasp on the handle. It's kind of slippery, especially with those silky blankets. It doesn't fully cover the baby. It goes right into their face. You can't see your baby. Your baby can't see out. You don't know what they're doing. And it just keeps falling and flopping all over the place. So after struggling with that a lot, I said, you know, there's got to be something that you just slip over. And when I didn't find it, I created that. It has a hole for the handle, so you have good grasp on the actual handle. There are windows in the front and the back and two side cargo pockets to put your cell phone, your keys, your wallet, because if you're going to lug that heavy thing around, might as well make it work and more for you. And there's elastic in the front and back, so it just fits on any single brand of car seat that you have. And the super cute factor is we have all these characters. So we made it look like a little beep beep car. So it looks like, you know, the front window of a car that your baby is looking out of. So it's super cute. And then we came out with a summer version. After coming out with that fleece version, we came out with a summer version called Airy Cotton. And the amazing thing with that is that it has SPF 50 plus protection woven into the fabric. So you don't have to slather actual sunscreen on your baby, which is not recommended for 6 months and younger anyway. And so we created a solution where people can go out in the summer and the sun and the hot beat sun, and your kids are totally protected from all the UV rays. And then the side is mosquito netting, so bugs can't go in, but it's completely airy. Like, it doesn't trap any heat at all. And then we have a burpee where, you know, you typically have burp cloths, and they're so thin, you go through 10 of them a day. And when you're out and about, you're not going to bring 10 burp cloths. So we made a reversible burp cloth that's 2-in-1. So basically, if you think about it, it's kind of like a pillow pouch in a sense. It's double thick on both sides. And when your baby spits up or gets one side wet or dirty, you just simply turn it inside out and you have a whole new burp cloth. And it's really been never done before. We've gotten patent, or we filed for patents for all of these. And as you know, it takes a couple of years to get them, but so they're patent pending. And then our last product, something I'm really excited about, we just launched that just a couple weeks ago, and it's called the Baba Mat. And it's a self-inflatable play mat that is multifunctional for all stages. So from infant, you know, tummy time to toddler playtime to nap time to even family time, like for July 4th, you can just take it all out and everyone can sit on it or have a picnic on it. Without any pumping, blowing, or batteries, you just twist a valve and it self-inflates into this 2-inch foam mattress, in a sense, play mat. And it's 4.5 feet by 3 feet, so it's a really good, great size. And just to deflate it, you just roll it up, squeeze all the air out, twist the valve, and you carry it wherever you go, and it's less than 3 pounds. And so it's my newest favorite product.
Okay. And Baba Threads, is that logoed baby clothing or what?
Oh, and so Baba Threads, so Baba Threads is kind of our soon-to-be clothing line. So that's something that's in production right now. Right now we just have kind of a cute little organic cotton T-shirt there, but we're really coming out with kind of innovative clothing, which you don't really see as much. It's usually just cute or designer clothing, but we're trying to make it more functional for parents to last a little bit longer. So that's kind of what we're working on.
It's really something, Jessica. And as I was looking at your website, what really intrigued me was the functionality of it. And when you touch something, another picture would come up, and you could make the larger pictures, and your blog had all the videos in it and so on. And of course, it really helps with searching for you, but it really helps the consumer that looks at your website. Can you make any comments on why you developed it that way, and so our listeners understand?
Sure. You know, I really, if you think about it from a consumer point, like, I would search for products and it would just have like a stagnant picture of it and just like written words, and I was like, well, what does it look like from the side? What does it look like from this? And so when I designed the website, and I had an amazing team, too, who helped me, and they were just, you know, friends of mine who are graphic designers or web guys. And but when we talked about it, we really talked about our user experience and what we would want, and we just went back from our own experience of being a consumer, and I think that's really important. And so I just really wanted it to be something that's bright and fun, that represented what we're about and the personality behind it. I wanted people to know that, you know, these are real parents behind this company. So there are some stories on the blogs around that. And then for the actual product, we wanted to show different views or different usage that you would use for it. And on our, you know, our tagline is simple, functional, and super cute. And that's how we approach everything with Baba Co. So even with every product, you'll see simple. Okay, why is it simple? You know, functional. Okay, what are the functions? And super cute. Why is it super cute? So we just want to stay true to what we say we're all about. And so that's how we wanted it to be just kind of an extension of ourselves on the website versus just a simple, typical standard website.
Well, Jessica, what about, you know, if you think about your two startups, and I know it's hard to narrow it down to one, but think of one piece of advice you could give to somebody, an entrepreneur that's starting his or her company. What would be the one single piece of advice you'd give?
I know, it's hard to pick one, but, you know, I would take the words of my dad, who is a psychiatrist, and I've learned, you know, I always learn from him so much, and he's really built me up with just the confidence of knowing that I could do anything that I envision. And I think that is where it all starts. And from there, if you believe in yourself, and of course, then of course there comes all these other sub-advice where, you know, in order to believe in yourself and believe in your idea, you need to, like, do your research, you need to do your prototype, do you think it works, like, do you know the industry, who is it for? So there's a lot that goes behind that, but I think believing in yourself that you can do this, and to look at this world, and I also look at this world, and there's such amazing, incredible people, and of course you have people who are famous and well-known, but if you really break it down, they're just people who believe in themselves, and they were just a boy just like, or boy or girl just like all of us were. And so not to be intimidated by, yeah, but we're not, you know, Starbucks. We're not that guy. We're not that girl, like whatever. You just have to say, someone's got to do it. Why not me? So let's, you know, just go and do it. And as soon as you open the door to do it and you're excited about it, everything else you'll be able to tackle and you'll be able to take the next steps. But I really believe it starts with that first moment, you know?
Well, you know, Jessica, most entrepreneurs don't like to talk about mistakes that they've made, but can you think of any major, you know, learning experiences that you had? It's like, okay, note to self, don't do that again. I've got a whole bunch myself, but I was wondering if there's anyone that you'd want to share with our listeners.
I would say my biggest learning from the first company and second company or whatever is, surround yourself with really good, smart people, but people who you love working with. You know, with my first company, I started, you know, I raised $1 million. I was, you know, 19, 20 years old. It was my first job ever. I mean, you know, in like real life as my career. And, you know, I think we needed the money. And so we went after, we had great investors, but they were more about the business opportunity and the relationship wasn't as much built in there. And so that, you know, wasn't as fulfilling for me. You know, so purposely with the second company, I wanted to raise just enough that we needed, and I really particularly sought out investors who I felt like I could have a good relationship with, who I enjoyed working with, who I felt like I could call, and they were kind of an extension of the family. Like, I just really wanted to enjoy it because it's so much work, and it's so, you know, so you have to love what you're doing, and a lot of that is the people that you surround yourself with. So just seeing it as, you know, this is really life that we're living, and we decided to live it this way, so let's surround ourselves with people that we love being with. I think that is the number one thing, and so don't be flashed or awed by, you know, people's background and money if you don't enjoy working with them. You know, you can find money elsewhere, you can find resources elsewhere, but you need to really enjoy and believe in each other to make a strong team. And I think that is just really important. And when I talk to new entrepreneurs and either they're funding or they're trying to get something off the ground, they'd rather get like the big name. But I would say get, you know, someone who has experience but who really believes in you and likes you, and then you can really get further along than having like, you know, some big famous person on your team, but they don't even talk to you or call you. You know, that doesn't go anywhere. So having mentors and people around you is my biggest advice.
Yeah, and you really need to believe in yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, it's almost like that. You know, the good news is, you know, this person gave us $1 million. But the bad news is either, you know, this person is ick, you know, to work with, or that we can't even reach them because they're always, you know, jet-setting around.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, what did it take to get into Amazon and Bye-Bye and Baby and Bed Bath & Beyond and Diapers.com? And what was the process for doing all that?
Yeah, so actually by the time we presented ourselves to those accounts, we wanted to just have some kind of track record. So we were in boutiques and, you know, just literally knocking on doors to get into stores and online stores. Then what we did was we actually did a lot of trade shows. So trade shows is a great way for new products and new companies and small companies to go out and have a booth, and you start meeting buyers because buyers go to those trade shows. And the best one in the baby space is ABC Kids Expo. But I would definitely research whatever industry you're in. And again, Google is your best friend, and networking, because through those two mediums, you'll find out what the big shows are. And, you know, you put a lot into your booth. You get, you know, well-organized. You want to make sure that you're ready for the orders when you go. That's how we did it. We went to the trade shows. We met the buyers of Amazon and Diapers.com and Bye Bye Baby. And you know, we presented the company, and we did a lot of follow-up, and we did sampling. And, you know, then they'll kind of run the process because they each company has their own process. But it was just about being there and getting the exposure and giving them the opportunity to meet you is what was really big for us.
You know what I think about trade shows, Jessica, and we do a lot of them too, and often I'll see people just sitting in their booth and, mm-hmm. you know, beating or not doing anything. And you and I both know that that's wrong. But explain to our listeners what you do, because I know you do the right things with a trade show. I can just tell.
You know, it's really engaging. I see it almost like a cocktail hour, you know, where it's not just about, like, when you go to a cocktail party, you aren't like, hi, I'm from Babaco, buy my product, it's 12-unit minimum. You know, you don't say that. You're more like, hi, how are you? Oh, my gosh, great. You know, did you go to that event last night? You know, you just start talking to them and just building a relationship from the first sentence. And then, you know, of course they're busy and they want to get down to it, so you want to respect that as well. But it's just being out there, being inviting. You know, you never sit down. I mean, we debate whether we even have chairs there for us. Well, of course we have the chairs of people who are writing orders, but we're like, we're in our high heels too. And we're like, no, you got to stand up and, just be inviting. And like, you know, a lot of times I'm standing next to my products and, you know, I have one or two other people in my booth and, you know, we're talking to them and we're just constantly still working too. If no one's at our booth, we like talk and we get excited, and people can just feel that energy. And so when they're walking by and you're kind of in the middle of a conversation, you stop, but you have a smile on your face, and then if people walk by and they just hesitate, you don't let that pass. You don't want to be a car salesman, but you just kind of say, I know, look, it even has windows and side pockets. Isn't it cute? And they're like, oh, side pockets. So you kind of bring them in with a feature that you don't think that they know from first glance. And you just kind of make light of it and have fun, and it just be enjoyable, and people want to know more from that point.
Sure. It's absolutely amazing how energy really attracts people. One of my favorite stories is I used to do a lot of canoeing and kayaking, and I used to have this big travel wall, and I was up at an outpost, and the parking was at a real minimum, and I happened to try to squeeze into a spot on the side of the road, and I went just a little bit too far to the edge, and all of a sudden both the right front and back front tire were, you know, down in the ditch, and the whole thing's at an angle. Okay.
Oh, no.
And so I go into the store, and there's a little bit tiny lady behind the store, looked like she's probably about 19, and I told her, I said, my truck's in the ditch. You know, is there anything we can do? She said, sure, no problem. She goes outside. There's all these big, strapping, muscled-up guys outside, you know, talking to each other and all like that. She says, come on, guys. There's a truck out here that's in the ditch, and we're going to get it out. Come on. And with her energy and everything, all of a sudden these guys just kind of looked at each other, and they all followed her. And they went. They picked the truck up and moved it out. And I was like, thank you. And it's just amazing what energy, you know, and passion can do as far as attracting people.
Yeah, I love that story. That's so funny, and it's so cute. I totally agree. I think it's just because people, you know, there's enough in the world that sucks up your energy. You know, there's enough stresses. There's enough things to worry about. And I think, you know, if you want to be around someone that's kind of positive, that helps you get through your day and just puts a smile on your face, and, you know, life is so short, and so we just got to enjoy that, you know. So that's how I feel about it.
That's really something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I try and stay away from all the negative drains. And if people are being real negative around me, I go somewhere else.
Right.
Well, Jessica, this has been great. How can our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about your company?
Well, you can definitely check out our website, which is www.babaco. It's BABBACO.com. That's where our whole home base is. And then I also have a Facebook fan page, which I'm very active in. And we love that. We love to have more people as fans. It's just a great community, that we've started to build up. And so that's facebook.com/Babaco. And then, you know, everyone's willing, you know, you can always email me. I'm accessible. So it's jessicakim@babaco.com. All one word. It's jessicakim@babaco.com. And, those are the three main ways that you can reach me personally. You can check out the company, and there's other links for the company if you want to look at something specific. But we're definitely accessible. We're real, and we love helping other entrepreneurs because everyone helped me. So I think we talked about that earlier, Bill. It was like, you know, you always want to give back. And I wouldn't be here still today with all of the help from mentors and people and support that I've gotten. So.
Well, thanks for being on our show today, Jessica. You know, your energy is infectious, and I know your company is going to be really successful.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking to you guys, and I love what you guys are doing, too, just, you know, providing these interviews for other people to learn from and listen to. So congratulations to the both of you.
Well, thank you, because, you know, our listeners, you know, really appreciate you sharing your experiences and insights, and they've learned quite a bit. It was another great show, Bill.
Gosh, it sure was, Ron. The enthusiasm and the energy is amazing. But I also want to give a special thanks to today's sponsor, Patent & More, your trusted guide to the innovation jungle.
And you can go to our blog, thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen again to today's show, plus the previous shows. This is Ron Reardon and Bill McHenry signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.